as I'm finishing up my junior year of high school, I've seen a lot of things, some pretty interesting things throughout high school. One of those things being girls. Laugh all you want, but they never cease to amaze me.
Amen.
The desperate lengths that girls will go to try and make themselves look good. So many different types of makeups and other stuff like that that girls get all dolled up in to make themselves, try and make themselves just feel good about themselves. One makeup that is most commonly seen in high school is called cover-up or concealer. When I was trying to get the correct name of that, I asked Kayla about this morning. And I was like, yeah, you know the makeup that makes the girls look orange? And she's like, yes, that's called cover-up or concealer. And I walked away, and she's like, PJ, you know that's not the main purpose of it. It's not to make them look orange. And I was like, oh, I know, but that's just what it looks like. But that makeup used by girls is cover-up, to cover up their imperfection and flaws. What good does this do? Covering up problems that will eventually be seen, and the more obvious that they will become after time. Does not really make sense to me, trying to cover up something that, no matter how hard you try, it's still going to be there. This cannot be any truer for the girls and their cover-up. I've seen girls with so much makeup on that they look like a totally different person, most of the time, not in a good way. All they're trying to do is just cover up their imperfections and flaws. And sometimes, do we try and do the same thing spiritually? I feel as though when things get hard in our lives, that we struggle spiritually, that we maybe try and cover up our sin, sweep it under the rug for now, try and deal with it later, just conveniently cover up our sins. Maybe not even covering up our sins, trying to run away and hide from our problems that we sometimes may come across. Trying to hide from our problems does not get rid of the problems as seen by the girls wearing their makeup, because at the end of the day, they're still left with their imperfections and flaws. This is real life, and there is no cover-up or makeup for Christianity. No way to hide from what we have done. Running away from hardships is never the right answer to any situation. We have some examples of this in the Old Testament. Look over in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, and starting in verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." Adam and Eve tried to hide from God. They were afraid because what they had done was wrong, so their first reaction was to run away and hide. Adam even admits to being afraid and says I was trying to hide from you because I was afraid. We cannot try and solve our problems by running away from them. Look over in the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1, starting in verse 2. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah tried to flee because he did not want to preach and help the mighty people of Nineveh. He fled from the Lord and tried to get away from him as far as possible. Then look over in chapter 2 and verse 10. Jonah chapter 2 and in verse 10. So the Lord spoke to the fish and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Look how far that got Jonah. He tries to run away from the Lord, ends up getting thrown overboard by some fishermen, and has to spend 3 days and three nights in the belly of a fish from trying to run away from the Lord. Eventually, both had to face their problems head on for what they had done. As will we in life, it does no good for us from running away from our problems. Running away from our problems doesn't help us out one bit. In most cases, the worst thing to do is to avoid that problem and run away from it. As many of you know, I've said it before in a couple of my sermons, I have a job at Pizza Hut, and I'm a waiter. And sometimes you get busy, you get 2, 3, 4, even 5 tables, and they're all spread out, and I'm running around, and my biggest fear is I'll forget about a table, because no matter what, at the end of the night, they're going to be the ones tipping me. So if I forget about them, not looking good for me. So I always have to be on guard so I don't forget something. But it happened once. I forgot about a table. They were there for probably about 30 minutes, just waiting for their pizza. And my boss is like, you can't avoid them, because that's the worst thing to do. You can't just avoid your problems. You have to go and own up to it. And so I went over to the customer, and I was like, I'm so sorry. I'm not going to beat around the bush. I just forgot about you. And she just laughed, and she was like, it's okay. I was just waiting to see if you would come over. And I came over, and she still tipped me pretty good, so it's all good in the end. But just goes to show that it doesn't do any good to avoid the problems, but instead attack those head on and not run away from them. Especially with sin. The worst thing we could do is hide from our sin, not own up to it, and not repent. But what causes us to feel ashamed, and what causes us to want to cover up that sin? Why don't we just simply own up and repent? Guilt is something that I wanted to talk about with us today. So many times as Christians everywhere, we kind of have a tendency of running away from sin, trying to cover it up because we just feel guilty. Guilt can maybe keep us from talking to our friends, coming to church, and in some cases it can even stop us from talking to God. Guilt is something that can keep us in the darkness and can keep us from repenting of those sins that we do commit. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and in verse 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time, until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart. Then each one's praise will come from God. Cannot feel guilty about the sins that we have committed, trying to hide them from God, because in the end we are going to be judged, and He will bring all of our sins into the light. In Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. We'll be reading verses 3 through 15. Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 3. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who correct us, and we pay them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of the spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful nevertheless. Afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. We're going to be chastened, and we need to be. We have to learn from our mistakes in order to grow, so we don't get stuck in a cycle of repetitive sinning, finding ourselves feeling guilty about sin over and over again. In James chapter 4, James chapter 4 and in verse 7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Don't let the devil guilt trip you into sin, but resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So many people look at guilt as a bad thing, but maybe guilt is a good thing. When you feel guilty, feel like you have done something wrong in your life, most of the time, you probably have. That guilt means that you need to repent because you are holding on to some unneeded baggage in your life. The last thing we need is to be carrying around unwanted and unnecessary sin. Listen to the guilt. Maybe your conscience is trying to tell you something. Don't hide because you feel guilty, but draw near to God and have your conscience cleared and get rid of that guilt. I mean, isn't God just amazing? How he knows exactly what we need. He gives us something like the feeling of guilt. We should be thankful for guilt, as crazy as it may sound. Something that can go off in our brain that we're sinning right now and we need to change. Guilt is there to catch us when we do wrong, to get us to repent and get rid of that baggage and that sin that we are carrying. People sometimes call preachers and other motivational speakers guilt trippers. But if the people aren't able to see the sin in their own life and not feel guilty about what they are doing, then maybe it's a good thing if that preacher is trying to get them to feel guilty about what they are doing, trying to get you to see what's wrong in your life, trying to get you back on the path that you should be. Can't you see that you're living in sin? You should feel guilty because what you're doing is wrong. One night when I was talking with Kurt, we were driving, and he said it best himself, that the devil is one of the biggest guilt trippers out there. The devil, in some ways, can feed off of our guilt. The devil keep us focused on that bad feeling of guilt, reminding us that you sinned, keeping you away from the Lord. By keeping us focused on that guilt and sin that's within us, he's keeping us away from God. Maybe the best thing for us when we feel that guilt is to sit down and have a little talk with Jesus. Because if we feel guilty, something probably isn't right. Why it is so important to resist the devil so that he will flee from you. Cannot try and hide when we have that feeling of guilt inside us, trying to cover it up or run away. But instead, let's run to Jesus. Look over in Hebrews again. Hebrews chapter 12. This time verses 1 through 2. Hebrews 12, starting in verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and our finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Instead of running away from our problem, let's set those aside and run to Jesus. Let's look to Jesus when we're caught up in that sin and we are burdened down by that guilt. Let's look to Jesus and be strong. In 2 Timothy, look over in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We need to get our Bibles out. Our Bibles and God, they're here to help us, to correct us and instruct us, to let us know the difference between right and wrong, so that the man of God may be complete. We cannot stay away from God, but go to his source of truth, the Bible, so that we may learn what he would have us to do. Don't let that guilt bring us down. Don't let that sin bring us down. We use the scripture as a weapon on our side to understand what is right and wrong, so that we may abstain from it. When people get stuck in sin, their excuse can be, I just can't forgive myself. I can't forgive myself for what I've done in the past. How would God ever accept me? Well, that is the totally wrong way to be looking at things. The more we look at ourselves, the more we look inward, the farther away from God we get. When isn't it God that has the power to save? Isn't it God that has all the power to forgive us of our sins? We need to go to God when we feel guilty and are caught in sin, not try and figure this out by ourselves. Because if we think that we can fix all the problems that we come across, we're not going to get very far. Weren't we the ones that sinned in the first place? That's why we need to let God forgive us. Have faith and trust in God that he will be able to forgive you of your sins. By him sending Jesus to die on the cross, we can have faith that our sins will be forgiven. Why it is so important to go to God first when we get that sick, nauseous feeling of guilt that overwhelms us at times. Let Christ take our burdens away. In Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, starting in verse 28. Matthew 11, starting in verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. When things are troubling us, when we feel as though we are being crushed under that burden of guilt, go to Jesus, and he'll give us rest, and help us out and remove that feeling of guilt that may be over us. Over in Philippians, where we have the scripture reading. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness, which is from God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. If, by any means, I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, not that I have already attained, or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid out for me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Forget the past. We cannot live in the past and what happened yesterday. Don't let that guilt have time to settle in and keep you away from God. Press forward to the goal, to the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We can't reach forward if we are too busy, stuck in the past. I'd ask that everybody here bow your head and pray with me for just one second. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we love you so much for all that you do for us. The fact that you knew so many years ago that we would need something like guilt, something like it to tell ourselves that we're caught in sin. Please help us to acknowledge something like that, something that you have blessed us with, and help us to use it so that we know that what we're doing is wrong. And help us to always come to you first. Please always forgive us of our sins that we may commit, and help us to come to you right away when we do commit those, so we may not linger in sin and have that guilty feeling trapped upon us. Let us come to you so that you can take that burden of guilt off our shoulders. We love you so much, Christ. In Jesus Christ's name, pray us prayer. Amen. Important for us as members to always gather at church when we have opportunities, to get our minds off obstacles that are in the world and talk with members that may be struggling. Help them out and don't let them run away from their problems. Or maybe you're having some troubles of your own, feeling guilty about some things in your life. Well, maybe that guilt is God trying to tell you that something's not right in your life and you need to change. Don't let that guilt keep you living in the past, ashamed to come before God. But run to him and repent of your sins. Let yourself be sin free. You cannot do that by avoiding God and not talking to him, because we can't reach forward if we're stuck in the past. Go ahead and take out your songbooks right now. I hope each and every one of you here today was able to take something from this lesson and really apply it to your lives. When we feel that guilt that can settle in our lives sometime, that we'll notice it and change from our ways and go to God and repent from what we are doing. And for the girls here, I hope that they learn to never use too much cover-up when they get in high school, because it is not attractive. But at this time, maybe you've noticed in your own life that you've been caught living in sin and you feel guilty. You have that guilt inside you because you know what you have been doing is wrong. Or if you're not yet a Christian, would like to become one, why don't you come and stand as we're standing in this place.